الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى. أما بعد، أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. وأما ما ينفع الناس فيمكث في الأرض سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. One of the names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is An-Nafi. The word An-Nafi comes from this word Nafa, which all of us I think are familiar with, which means benefit. And An-Nafi refers to that being who provides benefits. So this is one of the attributes, one of the names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Nafi, meaning Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala provides benefits to everyone. For example, this earth belongs to Allah, water belongs to Allah, air belongs to Allah, everything. These are blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and all of us were getting benefit from them. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is providing us different benefits and blessings, and it's part of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's benevolence and part of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's kindness towards creation, that He is always benefiting His creation. And this sifat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala not only is an attribute which Allah likes for Himself, but this is an attribute which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also wants us to have. So one of the things that we did before was that how we can relate with these attributes of Allah. And the Prophet ﷺ taught us that تَخَلَّقُوا بِأَخْلَاقِ اللَّهِ, that you should try to adorn yourself with the sifat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I mean, these attributes are so beloved to Allah, that means that they should also be beloved to us, and we should also beautify ourselves with these qualities. So how can we adorn ourselves with this quality? It's very simple, that just like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is that being who benefits all the creation, in the same way, at a human level, we should also become individuals who benefit other people, who help other people, assist other people, who serve other people, whether it's, you know, we benefit our parents, we serve them, or we serve our spouse, or we serve our kids, our children, or everyone, anyone around us. We provide for them, we take care of them, we help them, we benefit them, we give nafa to them. And that person who does this, such a person is very beloved to Allah and is one of the best human beings. In a hadith, the Prophet ﷺ said, that khayrun nas may yanfa'un nas, that the best out of all of humanity is that individual who benefits other people, who provides nafa to other people. And what is so beautiful about this quality is that if we start benefiting other people, if we take this identity that I want to help others, I want to serve others, then what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does is that Allah will make us firmly established in this world. This is a principle that whoever helps others and serves others and is a source of benefit for others, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will solidly, firmly establish and plant that person on the face of this world. And that is what Allah promises and says in the Quran as well, that wa amma ma yanfa'u an-nasa fayamkusu fil ard, that whosoever provides nafa to human beings and he helps others or benefits other people, then fayamkusu fil ard, Allah says that we will establish that person on this earth. Now, what does this establishment mean? Established means that Allah will give that person whatever they need in this dunya to lead a successful life. Established means that you will be firmly established. You will have respect in this world. Allah will give you the finances, the wealth of this world. Allah will give you a house. Allah will give you a spouse. Allah will give you all the things that you need in this world to be known as a person who is established, right? And you think of this as a, when we say that that person is established, right? He's well established. He's on his feet. So that means that person has all the mini, all the comforts of life, right? All the luxuries of life. He has his, he has family, he has a house, he has a car, he has respect, he has honor, people love him, right? So it means that that is what Allah is promising us, that whoever is helps others and benefits others, that Allah's Father is going to make them established on the face of this earth, meaning Allah is going to give them all these blessings in this life. Because if a person doesn't have, for example, a home, or they don't have wealth, or they don't have honor, or people don't like them, then that person is not established, right? He's standing on thin air. So by the fact that Allah is saying فَيَمْكُسُوا فِي الْأَرْضِ, that will make him strong and firm on this earth, means that that person will have the blessings of this life as well. So we should try to benefit other people as much as we can. And if we benefit other people, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah will help us. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will help us. And not only will Allah's Father help us in this world and make our dunya beautiful, but in the same way, Allah's Father will also draw us close to Him. Helping other people and providing nafa to other people is one shortcut way through which you can attain the qurb and the closeness of Allah's Father. I think many of you would have heard this before, perhaps even in Urdu, that ibadat se jannat milti hai aur khidmat se khuda milta hai. That through ibadat, through worship, you get paradise, and by serving others, doing khidmat, you get Allah. And this is not some made-up statement, but there is a reality, there is a haqiqat underlying the statement. And what that means is, on this path of ibadat and worship, sometimes a person can spend years, but they may not be able to acquire those maqamat, those ranks, and that status in the sight of Allah, which a person can get if they serve other people, if they benefit other people. In fact, there are some ranks of closeness with Allah, some maqamat of closeness with Allah, which a person cannot attain through ibadah. One can only attain those maqamat, those ranks of closeness and intimacy with Allah through this path of serving others, of helping others, benefiting others. So, for example, if we look in the Quran, there are two stories that are very instructive, and both of them are actually about the Anbiya of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, alayhi salatu wasalam, prophets of Allah. The first story is about Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam. Now, Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam, he is traveling with his wife, and they are leaving Madian and they're traveling towards Misr, Egypt. And it's night time and it's cold wind, it's a desert journey. And his wife, she says to him that, "I am feeling this labor pain." She was expecting, and she said that, "I'm feeling labor pain." So Sayyidina Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, he looks here and there, and it's a desert, right? There's no place to even hide. So what am I supposed? He's thinking that, what should I do in these halat? So he looks right, looks towards the left, and then when he looks in front, far away on the mountain, he sees that there's this big mountain, and then on the top of that mountain there is this fire. Something is burning, something, he can see light. So he turns to his towards his wife and says that, "Iz ra'a naran faqala li ahlihi umkusu," that you stay here And I see this fire there. And I'll try to go to that fire. Maybe I can get some warmth. Or if nothing else, I can try to find the way, some community or people living nearby so that we can go and live. We can go there, right? So Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam, now he approaches that mountain. He approaches that fire on that mountain. And the moment he reaches that fire, so there is a voice that he hears from above, which is the voice of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Inni ana rabbuk. Said, O Musa, I'm your Lord. Fakhla na'alayk. Take off your shoes. Innaka bilwadil muqaddasi tuwa. For indeed you have entered into this muqaddas, the sacred valley. And at that time, Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam, he was blessed with a nubuwwat. He was blessed with a nubuwwat. Imagine in this story, what is so ajeeb is that how he left with this feeling that my wife, she needs some help, right? She needs some help, and he went to fulfill her need, again providing benefit to her, khidmat, serving, right? And when he reaches that mountain, what happens? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blesses him with the nubuwwat. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blesses him with this maqam of nubuwwat. And if you look at this story, in this story, we don't see anything. We don't see ibadah. What we see is just this khidmat, this concern that Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam had to serve his spouse, his wife. And this teaches us a very important lesson, right? That whoever has this kind of empathy and feelings for others, and they're looking, they want to take care of other individuals and help other, benefit other, looking for opportunities to assist others, then this khidmat of others is so beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that this can be a way through which a person can get the qurb and the closeness of Allah. So mu'min is that individual who tries to help other people and provide faida and benefit to others. Some Urdu poet, in the story, he said that Khuda ke deen ka Musa se poocho haal, Khuda ke deen ka Musa se poocho haal, ki aag lene ko jaye aur paigambari mil jaye. Right? That he went to get the fire and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed him with the nubuwwah. Then the second example that we see is about the Prophet himself. Now, when the first revelation came on the Prophet, so the Prophet was a bit worried because there was this very big responsibility that was placed on his shoulder. And he was trembling, and he also was. Had this natural fear, right, that will I be able to discharge this responsibility properly or not? So when he came back home, he said to his wife, Umma Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha, that laqad khashitu ala nafsi, that I fear for my life. I fear for my life, right? And then Umma Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha, she replied and she said some words, which are amazing words. Right, she did a bayan, she mentioned about some of the qualities of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And truly, every word that she uttered was inspired from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's min janibillah. And she is providing consolation to the Nabi of that time, right? Incredible wife that she is giving tasalli to the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam at this time. And if you look at her words, those words are mentioned in hadith, she said, Kalla. Said, no way, wallahi, I swear by Allah that ma yughzik Allahu abada, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will never ever leave you, will never ever leave you, will never ever embarrass you, will never disgrace you. And Allah will always be with you, right? Allah will never abandon you. Why? And this is the key. Why? And then she gave a dalil. The reason is because innaka latasilur rahim, because you do sila rahmi, you join ties of kinship, وتحمل القلب. And you assist, you take the burden of those people who are not able to carry the burden, you help them. Those za'if, you take care of their burden. وَتَكْسِبُ الْمَعْدُومِ, and those who are not able to earn a living, you earn for them, and you provide them, you assist them by earning on their behalf. وَتَقْرِ الزَّيْفِ, and you host, you honor your guests. وَتُعِينُ عَلَى نَوَائِبِ الْحَقِّ, and you assist people on this task, on this path of haq, this path of truth. And if you reflect on these words that Amma Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha, she's mentioning the sifat of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we see that all of them, all of these qualities, they pertain to the khidmat of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to serve other people, used to help other people, was a source of nafa for people around him in that society, right? Joining ties of kinship, earning for those who are not able to earn, honoring the guest, helping people on the path of haq, right? Those who are za'if, lifting up their burden. So all of these are sifat which pertain to providing help and assistance, madad to other people, nafa, to people around you. And it seems that because of this, the Prophet ﷺ, and either the maqam, the rank of the Prophet ﷺ, the high rank that he was able to achieve, this quality of serving and benefiting other people was a very important and integral part, right, of his personality. And this is, by the way, before Nabuwat. And in Nabuwat came after this. Before Nabuwat, the Prophet ﷺ used to help other people. And perhaps that was the reason that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also blessed the Prophet ﷺ with this high rank. So today, you know, all of us, we unfortunately have a very different way of thinking about life. We want other people to help us, and we don't want to help anyone else, right? That we don't want to serve any other people. We just want other people to serve us. But if you look at the way of the Sahaba, the way of the Prophets, the way of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, they were people, the muqarrabin of Allah. Those who were close to Allah, they would always be looking for opportunities to serve others around them. And they would view that not as a burden or a responsibility or as an obligation, or something that we have to do or must do. No, they would view that as a sa'ad, as an opportunity to draw close to Allah. They would view that as their nobility, as their honor, something that will look forward to, that looking for opportunities, that how can we serve others? We see this even in the life of the Prophet ﷺ, that when you serve other people, it doesn't lower you in status, it only increases your respect. Right? The Prophet ﷺ used to help in his own household with the household chores. Once when he was on a journey and they had to, there were Sahaba Ikram around the Prophet ﷺ, and they had to stop at a particular place for nightfall. So every Sahabi, they took upon some task for themselves, right? Some Sahabi, they went and they pitched the tents. Some went in preparing food. So every Sahabi, they took some task for themselves. And the Prophet ﷺ said that the task of finding wood, which we will burn to get the fire, so I will choose that task. I will take that task. And the Prophet ﷺ would go to the jungle, and then he would cut the tree, and he would get the wood, and he would bring that wood back to the Sahaba. And many Sahaba, they said that, Ya Rasulullah, we'll be able to do this ourselves. There's no need for you to do this. You can rest here. But the Prophet ﷺ said that, no, that this is something which I have to do. Showing the people that service, right? Providing nafa and benefit to other people, this only increases the azmat and the rank of that person. So we see that there is a particular hadith which is an important hadith. And the Prophet ﷺ mentioned four things in this hadith. The first thing is the Prophet said that whoever removes any sorrow from another person's life in this world, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will remove the sorrows of Akhirah. Allah will remove the sorrows on the day of Qiyamah from that person. And in this world, if you remove some sadness or grief of some other person, this is directly proportional. In return for that, on the day of Qiyamah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to remove your gham. Allah will remove your sorrow and grief on that day. And second thing, the Prophet said that if there is a person who's stuck in some difficulty, some mushkil, some musibah, so if anyone eases the difficulty for that individual, may yassara ala mu'sirin, whoever provides ease to someone afflicted with a difficulty, then in return for that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make this dunya and akhirat easy for that individual. And in return, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to make this dunya, going to grant ease in this dunya, in the affairs of this world. And on the day of Qiyamah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will grant ease to that individual. Then the third thing mentioned in this hadith, the Prophet said that whoever conceals the faults of an individual in this world, right? Whoever puts the veil, they hide, they conceal the faults of others in this world, then in return for that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will conceal the faults of that individual in this dunya and in akhirah. Not just akhirah, even in this dunya, Allah will veil the faults, Allah will cover the faults. And the fourth thing is very ajeeb. The Prophet said that as long as a person is engaged in helping others, in serving others, providing nafa and benefit to others, so for that time, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is also helping that individual. Yani it's directly proportional. Therefore, as long as one person, mu'min, is benefiting other mu'min, for that same amount of time, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is benefiting this first person. Wallahu fi auni al-abd ma kana al-abdu fi auni akhihi. So this is, something that all of us make dua for, right? That oh Allah help us, oh Allah assist us, oh Allah do madad, right? Help us, right? All of us, we're asking, we're making this dua that Allah help us in our affairs. Now look at the Sharia. Sharia is teaching us such a beautiful technique and a strategy that if you help other people, if you benefit other people, then in return for that, Allah's Father is going to benefit you. Allah is going to, if you help others, Allah will help you. And Allah will become your helper. And if Allah's Father becomes your helper, then who else do you need in life? Right? Then your dunya and akhirat will be set. Right, all your parishani, all the grief and sorrow will go away, right? Once Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala becomes your helper. So we should have this adat, we should develop this quality of helping others and being a source of benefit and nafa to other people. Then similarly, there is another statement by Hazrat Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiyallahu ta'ala an, and this is also very beautiful, right? He mentions that, he says that on the day of Qiyamah, every person will be raised up and they won't be wearing any clothes. And every person will be hungry. They'll be raised up in a state of hunger, in a state of thirst, and they will be under the sun, right? Under the sunlight. They'll be standing in the heat of that sun. And that sun will be very close. It means that a person will be sweating. So imagine you will be sweat a person will be sweating, will be hungry, thirsty, no garments on their physical body. And then he said at that time, Faman qasa lillah, that whoever gave clothes to someone for the sake of Allah in this world, any whoever provided garments through which other people could conceal themselves in this world, kasahu Allahu, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give them garments on that day. And if someone, if you, you have these foundations and these charity organizations where you donate your clothes, and those clothes are used up by other people who don't even have money to buy clothes for themselves. So whoever helps them benefits them in such a way that you provide clothing to them in this dunya, then qasahullah, Allah will provide us clothes and garments on that day. Then second, waman at'ama lillah, that whoever feeds a hungry person in this world, then at'amahullah, Allah will feed that individual, Allah will feed us on that day in Qiyamah. And waman saqa lillah, whoever gives water or anything to drink to a thirsty person in this world, then saqahullah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will quench our thirst on that day. And waman amila lillah, and whoever does an amal, a good amal in this dunya for the sake of Allah, then aghnahullahu ta'ala, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make that person ghani, wealthy and rich on the day of Qiyamah. And the last thing, waman afa lillah, that whoever forgives anyone for the sake of Allah in this world, then afahullah, in return on the day of Qiyamah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forgive this person. This is what you call being a source of benefit to others, right? This is what you call preparing for this meeting with Allah. That on the day of Qiyamah, right, if we feed other people today, then Allah will feed us on that day. If we give drinks to other people this day, Allah will give us drink on that day. If we clothe other people, help other people with clothing, Allah will clothe us on that day. So we should not think that I'm, when you benefit other people, we shouldn't think that I'm doing a favor on the other individual. I'm doing an ihsan on the others. No. Right? We should think that I'm doing a favor to my own self. Because in return for this, in Qiyamah, Allah is going to return all these things back to me. And at a time when I need it the most. Right? So this is, we're not doing favor on anyone else. Right? We are doing a favor to our own self. We are doing a favor to our own self if we do this. In one Hadith Mubarakah, it's mentioned that whoever sets out to provide nafar to some Muslim, right, to fulfill the need of a Muslim, then for every step that you take, Allah will give you 70 good deeds and 70 sins will be forgiven. Now, I'll repeat this hadith. This is very important for us to understand that whoever sets out to fulfill the needs of his brother or sister, then for every step that you take, Allah will give you 70 good deeds and 70 sins will be forgiven. And if you're able to fulfill the need of that person, right? This is simply that you set out with the intention to fulfill the need. This is the reward for that. But on top of that, if you're actually successfully able to fulfill their need, right, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forgive all your previous sins. All the previous sins will be forgiven. A person will be like as brand new as when their mother gave birth, right? Sin free. The entire memory of sins will be deleted. Right? Imagine this is what happens when you fulfill the need of one person. You're fulfilling the need of one person in return, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forgive all the lifetime of sin. So this is something which is very important for us to understand, that we should be a source of helping other people and providing nafa and faida to others. In another Hadith Mubarakah, it comes that whoever sets out to fulfill the need of his brother or sister, then that person will get the sawab of 10 years of nafli itikaf. 10 years of nafli itikaf for just setting out with the intention to fulfill the need of a fellow Muslim. And again, in this hadith, it doesn't mention anywhere that was he successfully able to fulfill that need or not. It's just the niyat,
With the niyat, if a person sets out, a person will get the reward of 10 years of nafli i'tikaf. Allahu Akbar. Right? And this is what we see in the life of the Sahaba Ikram as well. There's a beautiful story about Sayyidina Usman Ghani radiallahu ta'ala an. This was a time when there was some shortage of water in Medina Munawwara. Muslims, they wanted water, but they didn't have access to water. Far away, there was this one well which was in the ownership of a Jew. And the Muslims, they had to go there and they had to draw water from that well. And that Jew used to take a lot of money as a charge, as a fee for allowing people to use his well. So Sayyidina Usman radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he felt that Muslims are needy of this water and I should do something. I should make some arrangement to help, to provide nafa to them. So he came to this Jew and said that if you want to sell this well, I'm willing to buy it from you. So the Jew said that, no, I don't have an intention to sell it. This is the way I earn my livelihood. So then Sayyidina Usman radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he gave a proposal that look, whatever price you say, I'm willing to pay your price. But that Jew, he again refused that I cannot sell this. But Sayyidina Usman radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he was also a tradesman, he was also a trader, a businessman, right? So he used one of his trading business techniques, a trick you can say. He said that, look, let me give you a mashwara, a counsel, that you can take this money from me, you can take the full payment from me, and just sell me this, just give me half ownership of this well. Any half ownership you will have, and the other half I'll have for myself. And I'll give you the entire payment, the full payment that I'm willing to pay you. Up that Jew was, he was surprised. He said, okay, fine. That I'm, you know, I'll get the full payment and I'll also have half possession of this well. So he said, Teek, right? He took the entire payment and that well, it was divided half half, which meant that half of the time it could be used by Sayyidina Usman radiallahu ta'ala an, and the half, the right to use, was divided equally, right? Now, after paying the entire payment and getting this right to use it half of the time, so they did this further negotiation and they decided that look, one day will be your turn to draw water from this well, and the other day will be my turn to draw water from this well. And the Jew said, Theek, fine, right? That's fair deal. So whenever it was the turn for the Jew to draw water, he would charge people some fee, right? That, you know, pay me the money and then I will allow you to draw water from this well. So this continued for some time, and when this sort of arrangement became solid, then Sayyidina Usman radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he said, he announced among the people that whenever it's my turn to draw water from this well, O Muslims, you can come and you can take this water for free. O people, you can come and you can draw this water for free. Now, when people started, they had this opportunity that one day they can get the water for free. So why, right, pay money to get that same water? They would just wait one day. It was a bit difficult. They would wait one day and then the next day they would get it when it was Sayyidina Usman radiallahu ta'ala's turn. So the entire community, they would just wait for that one day and then and the other day they would get that water. And the Jew, he would not get any customer in this way, right? So 1 month passed, 2 months passed. Finally, he came to Sayyidina Usman radiallahu ta'ala an and said that you can buy the other half from me as well. And Sayyidina Usman radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he paid him the remaining payment and he bought the entire well and then came to the Prophet sallallahu and said that, Ya Rasulullah, I want to present this entire well as a khidmat for the Muslims, as a nafa, as a faida for the Muslims. This is how the Sahaba Ikram used to be. This was the tayari, how they would prepare for akhirah, how they adorned themselves with the sifat, right, of providing nafa to other people. Khairun nas, man yanfa'un nas. that that person who provides benefit to other people, that person is the most beloved in the sight of Allah, is the best in the sight of Allah. Once Sayyidina Usman radiallahu ta'ala an, he got some wealth from a trading caravan, and this caravan was coming from Syria, Sham. And ajib that the goods that they were carrying were precisely those goods which were in a shortfall in Medina Munawwara. Any people in Medina Tayyiba, they really were looking forward to those goods. There was a dire need for those goods. So you can sort of understand, for our sake, like rice or sugar, right? They would get this rice or sugar from faraway regions, and sometimes there was a shortage or a famine there in Medina Tayyiba. So anyway, when this caravan came to Medina Tayyiba, some people from within Medina Munawwara, they came to Sayyidina Usman radiallahu ta'ala an and said that, you know, this mal that you're getting from Syria, we want to buy this from you. We want to buy this from you so that we can then sell it later on at a higher price to the people living in Medina Tayyiba. Right? So Sayyidina Usman radiallahu ta'ala an asked them that, okay, fine, I can sell this to you. But tell me first that how much profit will you pay me? How much nafa will you give me, right? So they said that we are willing to pay twice the profit, twice the normal profit. And if you bought this for 100, we can give you 200. So Sayyidina Usman radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he said, no, that's too less. So one of them said that, okay, I'll pay you three times the profit. And again, he said, that's too less. Someone else said that, I'll pay you four times the profit. And again, he said, no, that's too less. And then one person, he offered that, I'm willing to pay you five times. And again, he said that, no, that's too less. That I want more profit. Now, people were surprised, right, that one of them asked that, Usman radiallahu an, who will buy, right? Who will pay you more than five times the profit, right? Who will pay you that much? And then Sayyidina Usman radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he said that, I have a customer. I have a being that who is willing to give me 70 times the profit, 70 times profit on this investment. They asked, who is it? He said, that is my Lord, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. My Lord, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, has promised to me in the Quran that if you spend anything in my path, I'm going to multiply that 70 times, 700 times, and I'll give it back to you. So the entire caravan carrying all these goods, all the camels carrying all these goods, he took all of those goods and he distributed them among the Muslims for free for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Right, he made a deal with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Well, this is what we need to learn. That if we can also become individuals who can make this deal with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, kabhi karke dekhe. Right? Try sometime to make a deal with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That, oh Allah, I'm making a deal with you. I'm spending for your sake. And then see that how Allah ta'ala's deal ko nibhate. How Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will fulfill his side of the bargain and give you so much return that you won't even be able to imagine, right? The return that you will get on your investment. This is something we should try. So providing nafa to other people, and our akabareen and salaf saliheen, they were not just benefit human beings, they were also careful about animals around them, benefiting the makhluk of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So in the books, it's mentioned about there's a story about a young man who was leading a sinful life, committing zina and drinking alcohol and attending such gatherings of sin. And one day he attended one such gathering, and then during the night he was coming back home, and on the way there was some bush, and inside that bush you could hear the yelp of a dog, right? The plea, the cry of a dog. So he thought that, let me just see why is this dog in so much pain. So he bent down, he saw that this dog is sort of it's cold, it's winter time, and there's some none of the dog was in severe pain. So he picked up the dog and he brought him back home, and he put some lit some fire, and then he saw that there was some wound on the feet of that dog. So immediately he got some hot water, made some dressing, and dressed the wounds of that dog and put some medicine there. And he did this for a few days. About 17 consecutive days, he was doing khidmat of that dog until finally that dog became healthy, the wounds healed, and the dog was set to leave. And again, when after 17 days, he picked up that dog and then again took him out and placed him from where he had picked him up in the initial the first time. And then as a result of this khidmat of the dog, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala changed this person's life. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala changed this person's life, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepted him for his closeness, for his friendship. Today we remember this young man by the name of Hazrat Khwaja Bahauddin Naqshbandi Bukhari rahmatullah. For those of you who are familiar, one of the giants of our tradition and one of the awliya of this ummah, right? One of the friends of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if we reflect again on this story, that he was doing this khidmat of our dog, providing nafa to our dog. And as a result of that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepted him for his closeness, for his nearness, for his intimacy. As I imagine, if we help other people around us, this is for our dog. If you help other human beings around you, then what kind of rank and maqam would Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give to us? Similarly, there's also a story mentioned in the book about a muhaddis who spent his entire life in hadith scholarship, writing hadith and teaching hadith and sharing the ulum of hadith. And then when he passed away, someone saw him in a dream and asked him that, Hazrat, what happened? And he said that Allah Ta'ala's fazl and karam was, Allah Ta'ala's grace was upon me. But something very ajeeb happened to me. That in my mind, I was thinking that I've done this khidmat of hadith throughout my life, right? The books of hadith and the work of hadith that I had done. But when the time came for my hisab and kitab, for my accountability, then what happened was that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgave me even before my hadith scholarship and this khidmat of hadith was presented. Even before that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgave me. So when I was forgiven, I asked, Allah ta'ala asked me that, you know why you are forgiven? And I didn't know that why this happened. I was thinking that maybe because of my hadith and my khidmat of hadith, that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgave me. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, no, that we haven't forgiven you for this reason. We forgave you for another reason. And that other reason is that one day you were writing something and you wanted to, you had this pen and you dipped your pen in this ink. Back old times you had this ink pot and you had to dip your pen. So you dipped your pen inside that ink pot, and when you took the pen out, at that time one fly came and sat on the tip, the nib of that pen, and started drinking that ink, was thirsty. And you saw that fly, so you held your pen stationary for some time, and you thought that this fly is thirsty, so let it drink this ink. And I can write a bit later. So after a few seconds, that fly went away, and then you started writing with that pen. So at that time, when you stopped your pen for some time, you did that khalisatan for my muhabba and the muhabbat of my makhluk. You wanted to benefit my makhluk, and that's why you stopped your pen. You had no other jazba, you had no other intention, no other objective than this. Now go, because of this one amal, today we have forgiven you. Allahu Akbar. Right? So doing khidmat of a dog and doing khidmat of a fly can earn maghfirat. Then if we do khidmat of other people around us and we serve them, we help them, we benefit them, then imagine how easy would it be for us to earn maghfirat from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There's a very big name, a friend of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by the name of Hazrat Bayezid Bustami rahmatullah, one of the awliya of this ummah. He used to say that the rank of nearness and closeness I have with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the reason Allah blessed me with this rank is because of the khidmat of that I used to do of my mother. The khidmat that I used to do of my mother. So someone asked him that, how did you serve your mother? And he said that once when I was young, my mother, she asked for some water. And when I brought the water, my mother, she was already asleep. And I had this glass in my hand, and I stood there. I didn't wake up my mother because I didn't want to disturb her sleep. I just kept on waiting for my mother to wake up. And I spent the entire night waiting for my mother. It was extreme winter time. My body was trembling. And when my mother, she opened her eyes, she saw me waiting in that manner. She became extremely happy and pleased. And she gave me many, many du'as. And this is the barakat of those du'as, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala opened this door of wilayat for me. Open this door of friendship and intimacy for me. So the reason is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has love for his creation, for his makhluk. So whoever benefits the makhluk of Allah, that person becomes the mahbub of Allah. That person becomes the beloved of Allah. They become the muqarrab of Allah. In hadith, the Prophet explained this further, that al-khalqu iyalullah, that this entire makhluk is the khandan of Allah. It's like the, you can say, the kumba of Allah, right? The khandan of Allah. فَأَحَبُّ الْخَلْقِ إِلَى اللَّهِ فَأَحَبُّ الْخَلْقِ إِلَى اللَّهِ, that the one who is most beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala among his entire creation is that person, man ahsana ila iyalihi, who has good suluk, right? Who has an ahsan way, who provides benefit to the makhluk of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, right? Who does good to the makhluk of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that person is the most beloved to Allah. I'll just end with one final hadith, that there are many people who are engaged in the khidmat of creation. And this can be done in different ways, many different ways, right? But one way where we can serve other people is to help other people in their deen. This is also nafa, that you can provide nafa to them in their dunya. But a better way, a better way, a more rewarding way is to help other people in their relationship with Allah, in helping them draw close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if you imagine that by presenting one glass of water, this one glass of water is so rewarding in the sight of Allah. So if a person removes the dini thirst, right? The spiritual thirst of a person, the imani thirst of a person, then how much reward and sawab would a person get? The students of knowledge, right? They have this thirst for ilm deen. To remove that thirst and quench their thirst, how much rewarding would this be in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? If in this dunya, there is a traveler, a lost person who lost the way, and you guide him to his destination. Helping that person and guiding him to his destination, this is an amal which is rewarding and a way through which you can earn the closeness of Allah. Then someone who has lost the way in deen, someone who has lost the way towards Allah, if you guide them and bring them to this path of Allah, how much easily a person will be able to attain this qurb of Allah. If someone doesn't have clothing, a garment, and if you give him some clothing through which he can cover himself, he can cover his jism, so this will be rewarded as sadaqah. On the other hand, if we help another person to cover himself with this libas of taqwa, then how much azim sadaqah would this be in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? So Hazrat Anas bin Malik radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he narrates this hadith from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that Allah, أخبركم عن أقوام ليسوا بأنبياء ولا شهداء. The Prophet ﷺ said that shouldn't I inform you about such people who will neither be among the Anbiya nor will they be from the Shuhada. They will not be prophets, they won't be the martyrs. However, يَغْبِثُهُمْ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ الْأَنْبِيَاءُ وَالشُّهَدَاءُ بِمَنَازِلِهِمْ مِنَ اللَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلْ. But on the day of Qiyamah, the Anbiya and the Shuhada will be doing rashk, will be amazed and surprised at the high ranks these people would have achieved. And these people will themselves not be from the Anbiya and the Shuhada, but on the day of Qiyamah, the Anbiya and the Shuhada will be amazed at the ranks that these people would have reached. And they will be ala manabira min nurin yakununa alayha. They will be made to sit on the member of Noor. So when the Prophet he mentioned this, the Sahaba Ikram, they asked that qalu manhum. They asked that, Ya Rasulullah, who are these people? Who are these people? And the Prophet said, Allazina yuhibbibuna ibadallah ilallah. That these are those people who make the servants of Allah the beloved of Allah. Who make the ibad of Allah the beloveds of Allah. And who join them towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And wa yuhibbibuna Allah ila ibadihi. And they make Allah the beloved of those servants. And in both ways. That they make the servants the beloved of Allah, and they make Allah the beloved of servants. وَهُمْ يَمْشُونَ عَلَى الْأَرْضِ نُصَحَاءَ. And they travel the face of this earth, giving good counsel to other people. So the Sahaba Ikram, we said that يُحِبِّبُونَ اللَّهَ إِلَىٰ عِبَادِ اللَّهِ. That we can understand the fact that ki wo Allah ko bandon ki nazron mein mehboob banate hain, right? That they make Allah, they talk about Allah, the love for Allah, and hence people, they fall in love with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we can understand that part, that these are they by telling about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they make people fall in love with Allah. We can understand this part, but how can they make people the beloved of Allah? How can they make people the beloved of Allah? The Prophet ﷺ said that يَأْمُرُونَهُمْ بِحُبِّ اللَّهِ وَيَنْحُونَهُمْ. So they will tell them to do those tasks which are according to the muhabbat of Allah and stay away from those things which are displeasing to Allah. And when these people, they do those tasks which are pleasing to Allah, and when they abstain from those things which are displeasing to Allah, in this way they will become the beloveds of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Right? So this is the way they will become the beloveds of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And these are those people, right? If we can also make this an objective of our life, that I want to, at whatever level my niyat, my goal is, that I also want to be that individual who works in my own self and tries to draw close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But more than that, an additional responsibility is that I also want to play that role where I can connect people to Allah. I can be the connector, right? Where I can bring people close to Allah and I can bring Allah close to people, right? And such a person will be getting this high rank and this akhirah will be made to sit on this mimbar of Noor and get such an amazing rank that the Anbiya alayhi salam and the Shuhada, they will be looking and they'll be mesmerized, they will be amazed at the maqam that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give to such a person. So we make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala enable all of us that we can adorn ourselves with the sifat and we can also become a source of nafa and faida to other people around us. Wa akhiru da'wana an alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. سبحان ربي الوهاب اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين يا الله يا ربي كريم ظلمنا أنفسنا Allah we have wronged ourselves يا ربي كريم يا الله we come to you tonight Allah, we want to undo this wrong. Allah, we want to undo this zulm. Ya Rabbi Kareem, we want to undo our sins. Ya Rabbi Kareem, Ya Allah, we ask that you accept us. Allah, we ask that you forgive us. Allah, we ask that you shower us with your rahmah. Allah, we ask that you shower us with your maghfirah. Ya Rabbi Kareem, Ya Allah, forgive us for all the hukukullah. And Ya Rabbi Kareem, forgive us for all the hukukul ibad. Ya Rabbi Kareem, Ya Allah, make us such that we become pleasing to you. Allah grant us the ability that we can adorn ourselves with those sifat that are pleasing to you. Ya Rabbi Kareem, Ya Allah. Allah, we ask that you enable us to do this takhalluku bi akhlaqillah, that we can adorn ourselves with your akhlaq. Allah, just like you are Rahim, Allah, make us also merciful and Rahim towards people around us. Allah, just like you are Sattar, Allah, make us also Sattar so that we can also conceal the faults of others. Ya Rabbi Kareem, just like you are generous, Allah, we also ask you for that generosity. Allah, grant us a generous heart. Ya Rabbi Kareem, Ya Allah, just like you are An-Nafi', you provide benefit to other people. Allah, we also ask that you adorn us with this sifat and make us also nafi to people around us. Allah, make us nafi to the makhluk around us. Ya Rabbi Kareem, Ya Allah, make us nafi, Allah, to everyone around us. Ya Rabbi Kareem, Ya Allah, adorn us with this sifat. Allah, adorn us with all the, Allah, beautify us with all the sifat, the mu'minana. Ya Rabbi Kareem, Ya Allah, we ask you, Allah, that you purify our hearts. Allah, remove all the blameworthy attributes from our hearts. Allah, remove the arrogance from our heart. Remove the lustful feelings from our hearts. Remove this excessive love for the dunya from our hearts. Ya Rabbi Kareem, remove envy and jealousy from our hearts. Remove anger from our hearts. Ya Rabbi Kareem, remove pride and arrogance from our hearts. Ya Rabbi Kareem, Ya Allah, we ask that you adorn us with all the praiseworthy attributes in our heart. Ya Rabbi Kareem, grant us haya in our eyes. Grant us haya and chastity in our heart, in our thinking, in our feelings. Ya Rabbi Kareem, make us people of haya. Allah, you yourself love haya. Allah, your Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam loved haya. Ya Rabbi Kareem, Allah, we also ask that you bless us with the sifat of haya. Ya Rabbi Kareem, grant us haya in our thinking, haya in our feelings, haya in our desires, haya in our eyes. Ya Rabbi Kareem, Ya Allah, Allah, grant us, Allah, control over our anger. Ya Rabbi Kareem, make us people of hilm. Make us people of forbearance and forgiveness. Ya Rabbi Kareem, instead of hasad, Ya Rabbi Kareem, we ask you that you make us a source of well-being for others, a person who thinks well about others, who thinks good about others, someone who has husn-e-zan towards others. Ya Rabbi Kareem, Ya Allah, remove the stinginess from our soul. Allah, make us people who are generous. Allah, make us people of this benevolence. Allah, make us people of of empathy. Allah, grant us tawfiq that we can treat others with kindness, with softness. Ya Rabbi Kareem, you love softness. Ya Rabbi Kareem, we ask that you make us soft in our heart. Allah, soften our hearts. Ya Rabbi Kareem, incline our hearts towards your remembrance. Ya Rabbi Kareem, grant us softness in our nature, softness in our character, softness in our temperament. Ya Rabbi Kareem, Ya Allah, we ask you, Allah, that you remove the arrogance from our hearts, and Allah, grant us humility. Ya Rabbi Kareem, grant us ajizi and humility. Allah, beautify us with tawazu. Ya Rabbi Kareem, Ya Allah, we ask that you remove the sins of our nafs. Allah, make our nafs mutma'inna. Ya Rabbi Kareem, make our nafs mutma'inna. Allah, make our nafs mutma'inna. Ya Rabbi Kareem, make this nafs according to the Quran, Sunnah, and Sharia. Ya Rabbi Kareem, Ya Allah, accept us for this path of zikr. Accept us for this path of muhabba and mahbubiyah. Ya Rabbi Kareem, grant us tawfiq that we can do your zikr-e kaseer. Allah, every inch of our body, Allah, make it jari with your zikr. Allah, every atom of our existence, Ya Rabbi Kareem, make it jari and sari with your zikr. Ya Rabbi Kareem, allow us to lose ourselves in your remembrance. Allah, allow us to lose ourselves in your remembrance. Allah, grant us fana in zikr, baka in zikr. Ya Rabbi Kareem, Ya Allah, make us jari and sari in zikr. Ya Rabbi Kareem, grant us fana ya kalbi. Ya Rabbi Kareem, we ask you, Ya Rabbi Kareem, that you remove all the unlawful from our hearts, all the ghairullah from our hearts. Allah, wipe our hearts clean of ghairullah. Ya Rabbi Kareem, Ya Allah, we ask you that you come into our hearts. Allah, remove all the roommates. Allah, remove all the shuraka. Remove all the idols from our hearts, whether they're idols of statue or idols of thoughts. Allah, remove all the idols from our hearts. Ya Rabbi Kareem, Allah, we ask you, Allah, that you grant us tawfiq, that we can remember you with the full extent of our hearts. We can love you with the full completeness of our hearts. Uhibbullahu bi kulli kulubikum. Ya Rabbi Kareem, Ya Allah, increase us in our love for you. Increase us in our desire for you. Increase us in our longing and yearning for you. Allah, make us love you more than any other love that we have in our hearts. Make us desire you more than any other desire that we have in our hearts. Allah, make us long for you more than any other longing, any other yearning, any other desire, any other tamanna or wish that we have. Ya Rabbi Kareem, Ya Allah. Allah, we ask you that you make our love for you more extreme and more intense than the love that we have for our parents, than the love that we have for our spouse, than the love that we have for our kids, than the love that we have for our own self. Ya Rabbi Kareem, grant us your muhabbat. Grant us shiddat in your muhabbat. Allah, grant us dawam in your muhabbat. Allah, grant us rusukh in your muhabbat. Ya Rabbi Kareem, Ya Allah, set us free, Allah, from the prison of unlawful loves. Ya Rabbi Kareem, Ya Allah, grant us yaksui in your muhabbat. Yakjehti in your muhabbat. Allah, join our hearts in love for you, Ya Allah. Ya Rabbi Kareem, enable us to have muhabbat for you, and that muhabbat which is permissible in your name and for your sake. Allah, and we ask for that muhabbat which is lillah, billah, and fillah. Ya Rabbi Kareem, Ya Allah, we ask you, Allah, that you accept these du'as from all of us tonight. Rabbana taqabbal minna, innaka anta sami'ul alim, wa tub alayna, innaka anta tawwabur rahim. Sallallahu ta'ala ala habibihi, khayri khalkihi muhammadin wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in, bi rahmatika ya arhamar rahimin.